Kenny Chesney sings, "Don't blink. Life goes faster than you think." The thought is, don't blink. Don't lose focus on what is really important. If you do, you will miss what is really important to you. If you ever get a life, you must know what is really important to you. Duh, right? I mean, it sounds like a dumb statement, but many people do not know what really matters the most to them. They say they want success, they say they want a life, but the way they do life does not match what they say they want. Here's what I mean. See if any of these areas relate to you. Number one, you have great ideas about what you want to accomplish, but the way you live doesn't get you there. Number two, it doesn't seem the people closest to you understand you very well. They don't know you. Number three, you have a difficult time prioritizing how to spend your time and spend your money. Number four, you feel lost or overwhelmed by the shuffle of life. Number five, you struggle with major decisions. And number six, you wonder to yourself who you really are. Now, we all go through these areas some, but if any of these nail you for the majority of the time, you have a problem. You do not know your personal core values. What is really important to you? You may have a vision and know the answer to why am I here, but unless your values support your vision, it will always remain and always be only a vision and only a dream. It will never happen. Many people go through life depressed, feeling a failure, and feeling unsuccessful because their personal core values did not support their vision. Not because the vision was too difficult. Today, let's talk about discovering what really matters and what's really important to you. But first, let's finish watching the video and listening to Kenny. Guess we could just go home. Don't blink. 100 years goes faster than you think. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this, "The thief cometh not, but to what? Steal." Would you say the thief comes to steal? Would you say that back to me? The thief comes to steal. Put it up there for me, please. "The thief cometh not, but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, but I come that you might." Might. You don't have to do it. Most people don't do it. But you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. I want us to see today that one of the ways that the thief comes and steals life from us is from what's important to us. And we're talking about this. On the back of your gateways, I hope you'll take notes with me today. The first feeling that you have is the thief steals life from us. That's what that verse says. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy life from us. But Jesus says, I come that you might get a life. That you might have life and you might get it more abundantly. So that's what I want to talk about today. What I want to talk about today is how the thief comes and works in our values. He distorts our values. He makes our values so messed up that we really can never get to where we really want to go because of the power of our values. Values are an engine in your life. Values is what determine where you go in life. If you ever make it to where you want to go in life, it's because you've got the right core values. So that's what we're going to be talking about. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, "For physical training is of some value." Even physical training is of value. But godliness has value for all things. For how many things? All things. See, all things have some value. And godliness, it says here, has a value for all things. All things are affected by value. Everything in your life is affected by its value to you. All things are value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now, what I want us to see here is from this verse is that your values, if you look back, you can see your values and they brought you to where you are. What's really important to you has brought you to where you are today. You're living the life today because of values. The values that you have now affect your present life, and it will affect your future life as to where you're going. But even more so than just that, your values don't stop just because you die. Your values will even affect your eternal life and affect the legacy that you get to leave right now for your grandchildren, for your children to come, for ages to come, and whatever that you've accomplished on life. It's all affected by values. Values are a big deal. And if we don't get a handle on our values and understand our values, we'll never get to where we really want to go in life. They're big. The mention of values conjures up all of these thoughts and ideas to different people. For some people, value simply means why our nation is depreciating because of its values. Is this true or not true? It's true, right? I think so. How about our school systems? Our school systems are depreciated. They're not where they used to be one time because of values. And so people think along those lines. How about a presidential candidate? You see, some people just associate values with somebody that we're going to elect in a public office. Should we know the values of those for which we elect? Yes, we should, because it's so important. But that's not what I'm after. What I'm after is getting you to understand and get a hold on your core values. I don't really care what you think values should be for somebody else. What I'm here to try to do today is help you find your core values, what it really is to you. It's not what you say they ought to be. Values are what we do day in and day out. Values are how we live our lives. What is really important to you? That's what I'm really after. You cannot discover the life that you want and get to where you want to go and get alive unless you understand your core values. So what are values, and how do you know what your values are? What are values to start with? Values are in your behavior. The answer lies in your behavior. Values aren't what you say they are. Values are what you do. They're beliefs in action. Not what you say are important to you, but really what you do day in and what you do day out. Values are what you hold most dear. Again, on your gateways, I'm hoping you're taking some notes with me and write this one in, please. Values are so dear to you that you live your life according to them. You live your life according to your values. Not what you say is important, but what's truly important to you. Now, let me give you a list of values. These are values, and they should be important to all of us. Everyone that I'm going to say here should be important to each one of us, but I'm going to say something after I read all these off. Here's a list for you. Respect and integrity. We all want respect. We all should be people of integrity. Trust, relationships, travel, fun, leisure, work, acquisition should be a value to us. There are certain things in life that we want to acquire. Adventure, image, service, security, financial gain, faith. Every person in this room should have a high value for the faith in which you hold. Family, loyalty, health. Health should be a value, right? Health, comfort, risk, education. All of these things are values, and we would all have these in the list of our values. But here's what I want us to see today, is that in your list of values, there are only a few values, one, two, or maybe three, that are really, really core values. Core values in that they really motor your life and direct your life. Many people think values are beliefs, and that's their definition. It's what I believe. No, that's definitions inadequate. That's not a good definition at all. Here's what values are. Values are behavior examined. Say that back to me. Behavior examined. One more time. Behavior examined. What am I after? What am I trying to say? If I get to examine your behavior, I will know your values. If I hang out with you day in and day out, I will see what's really valuable to you. Not what you say, but what you do. Because beliefs don't get it there. You believe a lot of things. But what do you do? That's really where your values exist. You know, and we get it confused. Sometimes we think our values are what we say they are. That doesn't get it. That's not it. Values are what you are. Values are what you do. When we say these things, it's kind of wishful thinking. When we say a lot of things that these are values to us, it's self-deception, or maybe we're parroting what we heard somebody else say was a value. And what we're ending up doing is living a pretend life. Years ago, there was a couple going to church here, and they asked me to do marital counsel. I don't do that anymore. I just give you tapes and books that I've already said, so I don't have to repeat myself. but they were asking us to do marital counseling, so we did. We were sitting back in my study, and we were sitting there with this couple, and they were on the verge of divorce. And so I began to do what I always do in marital counseling. I said, what kind of marriage do you want? What kind of life do you want? He began to tell me, what he wanted. He wanted to really love his wife loved him, and he wanted to have this wonderful family, and he wanted to spend time with his child that he had, and wanted the child to love him and respect him, and he wanted to have quality time with his wife and quality time with his family. And so I said, okay, that's where you want to go. Now tell me what you do every day. And so he began to tell me what he did every day. He would get up early in the morning before anybody else did, and he would leave for work because he had to travel a great distance, and so it took you time to get there. And actually, I come to find out that he and his wife didn't even sleep in the same bedroom. She actually slept with the child so they would sleep and not disturb him because he needed his rest, so he had to work. So they were having this thing going on. And so he said, so I get up and I go to work, and he says, and of course I have this commute, and I have to commute back and this traffic, and I get home late. And of course, by the time he got home, the child was already in the bed, and everybody was tired and wore out and grumbly, you know how that goes. And so during the week, there was no time to acquire what he said he wanted. So I thought, well, for this deficiency then, surely there must be some time on the weekends. And so I asked him, I said, so what do you do on the weekends? And so he told me, he says, well, I have this other business that I do. And so I go and I get into my room and I work on my computer because that's how what kind of business it is. And so I have this computer thing going on. And I said, so when do you see your family? Well, I don't know. You know, I guess I don't see much. And so what I was trying to tell him, I showed him, I said, listen, I said, the values, the thing that you're really doing will never get you to where you say you want to go. The life that you told me that you want to have, what you're doing will never get you there. And so he began to, like we all do, give me all of these excuses. Well, I got to work. I got to make a living. I got to be successful. I got to do all these things. And I said, yes, you're probably right. But what I'm trying to communicate to you is that your success is more valuable to you than your family. He didn't like that. See, people don't like you when you really tell them what their values really are. He didn't like that. But you see, that's the truth. The way he was doing life, what was really valuable to him is not what he was saying. He was living a pretend life like so many of us do. We say one thing, but what we're really living out is not the same thing. And so we'll never get the life that we want because we don't have the right values to motor us and drive us to that place. So, ask you these questions. After every point that I make, I'm going to try to give you a few questions that you can ponder. Hopefully you'll take these things home and read over them and answer them for your own selves. Here we go. What are your values? What do you say they are? But then what does your life say they are? Are they the same thing? Do you really want to know what they are? See, most people really don't. If you really want to know what they are, then you've got to ask somebody. This whole thing is set up around asking tough questions and then answering, being honest enough with ourselves to get a life. We've got to ask and answer tough questions. Ask somebody. If you're married, ask your spouse. Ask your spouse what your values really are. If you got children, ask your children what your values really are. Not what you say. What do you show them is valuable? If you've got brothers and sisters, ask your siblings. They'll tell you. Ask your coworkers. Ask somebody that you work with every day who hears you process, think, breathe. Ask them what your values are. That's where you're going to start getting something that you can really start working with. So, you know, what happens if you don't like the answers? Well, don't be shocked, because most of us don't like the initial answers that we get. I didn't like mine, and some of mine I still don't. But the truth is, I know my values, and I've identified them, my core values, what really makes me tick, and so therefore I'm able to pursue it. If you don't do this, if you don't do this discovery, you're going to only live a pretend life. It's not going to be a real life. You're pretending, like that person that I told you earlier about. You're just going through life pretending. So if you really want to know your values, go back, ask your spouse, ask your children, ask your brothers and your sisters, your siblings, ask your coworkers. Then you got something you can begin to work with to get a life, get the life that you really want. And you really start seeing what's really important to you. So how do values impact your life? I don't think any of us realize the impact upon our lives that values have. And so I want to spend a few minutes on this. You see, we all run our lives by values. We just have different ones. The values that are important to you might not be important to me. But there are certain areas of our lives, and I'm going to give you five of them. There are certain areas of our life that values always affect. If it's a value, it affects these areas. Here we go. Number one, decision making. The decisions you make are your signature. Would you say that back to me? Just say signature. Or your signature. Signature to life. And display what is really important to you. You sign your life by your decisions. Now, let's say that somebody has a real value of peace. You are peace. You want peace everywhere. And so every single decision that you make is to maintain peace. Let's say that you are a control freak. And so every single decision that you make is going to be connected with your ability to control. This is how it works. You see, I can read your values by simply looking at your decisions. If I see your decisions, then it's a signature of your name and your seal upon it. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. See, especially like in political candidates. And when we think about these things, if we'll look at their political history, at their history as far as their value history, we look back, we can see from where they've come. We can see where they are. This is extremely important, like for a presidential race in which we're going for, okay? Now, I'm going to use this example because this just happened this past week, and it's current news. And so I want you to see that your life is giving a picture. This is my point here. Would you put this picture up here for me? Now, you tell me, what does that picture tell you that man's values are? Is he interested? Is it really valuable to him, the Pledge of Allegiance? Now, in his defense, I've heard that there are other pictures. This is just one picture of many, and other pictures he did have. But according to this picture, this particular candidate is not that interested, does not consider the value of the Pledge of Allegiance. So, values engine your life. Values are what cause you to do what you do in life. They're the picture of what he made a decision not to do that, not to put his hand on his heart. And so here's a picture now, an image of him. Decisions you make are powered by your value engine. If you can see your values as an engine that energize and give power to the decisions that you make, you're going to be on top and you're going to start getting ahead in life. So if a person frequently makes bad decisions, listen, they have bad values. You hear that? If you're a person who makes bad decisions, there's something messed up with your values. A person who constantly makes good decisions have good values because your values engine, drive, power the decisions that you make. So here's the questions for you. What was your last big decision? Your last big decision, whether it was you made a good decision or a bad one. Some of us make bad decisions. And what engine that decision, good or bad, was your value? If you look, what values determined that decision? So the first one that your values always affects and always impacts is your decision. Here's the second one for you. Time. How you spend your time is how you spend your life. That's a duh statement. I know it sounds like that. But it's really not. If you look at your calendar, you'll see your values. If you look at what you did last week, you're going to begin to see what's really important to you. What got your time? Who got your time? Because time is a premium. You've only got so much. And it's a premium. And when it's gone, it's gone. Time is a premium. Frequently, I become so frustrated, aggravated, angry even sometimes when I do something and I have to redo it. I didn't do it correctly, so I have to redo it. Or I do something that I really don't want to have to do, and it takes time. And as I investigate that, it's not because I had to redo it that really frustrates me and upsets me. It's because it took time from what I really wanted to do. How many of you understand what I just said? Huh? See, it's robbing me of my precious time, my hours, my minutes of life. And so where does this fit in my scheme of my values? Time is so precious. I don't even sleep a lot. I don't. Because it's like sleeping is a waste of time. I could be doing something. I could be doing what really brings me joy, what's really fun for me to do, what I really, really do. I just sleep. My temperament is the kind of temperament that you just sleep so you can rest your body and your mind so that you can do the goals that you want to get done the next day. And so this is how I know what brings me peace, and I know what brings me fulfillment. And so what ticks me off, time, tick, tick, what ticks me off, you see, is things that seem to come and interrupts the ticking of my life. and takes time for me. I've learned that when I say no, it's not necessarily because it's a good thing or a bad thing to do. When I say no, I've learned that it's because whatever I'm saying no to attempted to interfere with my time and take time. See, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, right? And so the enemy will find ways to steal your time. The enemy will find a way to come in and deluge your decisions. This is how he steals life from us. Now, I want you to think about your past week. Here's your questions for you on this one. Think about your past week. Review your calendar. What you did is what you value and how you do life. So, what values showed up? What did you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? That's where your values are. And if you'll look at that calendar, you'll find out what is really important to you. And that calendar is your life. All right, number one, we said was decisions. Number two is time. Number three, money. Money. In discovering values next to how you spend your time is how you make and spend your money. Your values influence both how you make and how you spend your money. If you're an adventuresome person, if you're a person who doesn't mind taking risks, then you're kind of doing an entrepreneur thing. You're just out here doing this and trying that, and that's how you do life. That's how you make money. But if you're a person who needs security, and security is a value to you, then you're going to probably have a job that's salaried. You're going to have to know what's coming in every week because of the value that you put on these things. You're going to have to know what you're going to be coming in. See, if you're a person who has a high priority and a high value on how your image, how you look, how you dress, the car you drive, how you present yourself to people, then what you're going to be doing is wearing name brand clothes. You're going to be driving nice automobiles because this is a high value to you. If you're a person who has to have it now, get it now, then what you've done is you've spent all your money. You've actually spent more than your money. You've maxed out your credit cards because you got to have it now. That's more valuable to you than not being in debt. Come on, somebody ought to say, "Oh me," or "You're right," or something. It's more valuable to you than you having money in the bank, that you have it now. If you're a kind of a person who is concerned more about their future, then you don't owe much on credit cards. Because you're wanting to put something back for that rainy day and for that future. Jesus spoke of this value this way. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, he says this, "For where your treasure, where your core value is, there will your heart be also." What he's simply saying is your money is going to go to your value. To what's precious to you, you'll find money. If it's precious to you, you'll find the money to do it. And this is how it works. Jesus looks, he was sitting in the temple one day, and he's looking at how the people gave. Not what they gave. This is so interesting. How they gave. And the story is about this widow woman. This widow woman comes into the temple, and she doesn't have much money. And so what she wants to do is she wants to put some in. And so Jesus is watching how people give. And so when he sees this widow woman give, and she gave two little pennies, two little mites, all she had, Jesus calls his disciples, said, "I want you guys to get a hold of this. Look at this." Mark chapter 12, verse 43 says this, "Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, 'I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others.'" Huh? How could that be? They all gave out of their wealth, out of their abundance. It was easy for them. But she, out of her poverty, look at this, put in everything. Everything. All she had to live on. Now, what picture does that paint to you about that widow? I showed you a picture of that political candidate. What picture do you see now of this? What's important to this woman? Would you say the kingdom of God is important to her? Would you say that her place of worship is important to her? Would you say that God and Jesus or whomever is important to her? Would you say that's her, because that's where her treasure is? Everything. She'll find the money to give. Because that's what's important to her. And I get so concerned about Christians, not disciples, Christians today, and how they give. Because how you put your money, where you put your money, tells me so much about your value. Even your time, you know, Christians not coming to church. I'm thinking, what? Then where in the value list is this? We don't give. What? Where in the value list is church, is God, is Jesus, is the kingdom of God? My son-in-law values of your money. My son-in-law, one of his major values is education. Education. He's got two sons, my grandsons, Mac and Jax. They were in the video. Mac and Jax. Jack and Max. Talking fast. My head, ahead of my brain, but which is not hard. Jack and Max. They're two of my grandsons. Anyway, since they were 3 years old, he's had them in private school. He forks out a bunch of money every year to put those in private school. Why? Because education is such a value to him. Your money goes to where your treasure is, where your value is. So here are your questions. What does the way you make your income say about your values? Are you an entrepreneur kind of a person? Or are you one of these people that have to have security? What do your spending habits and giving habits reveal about your values? Reveal something. What's important to you? What are you teaching your children is important by how you treat your money? What are you telling them is really important in life? Number one, we said it was decisions, two, time, three, money. Four, no, is relationships. Your values determine your close friends. Not just every friend, not just every acquaintance, but the people that you're really close to have the same values you have. And if you want to know your values, look at your friends, your close friends. You'll see yourself. What do they value? Here's the questions for that one. Who are your closest friends? What do they value? If they're close, they're really in your life, there's going to be a similarity in the values. Birds of a feather, help me, flock together. Okay. Number one, decisions. Two, time. Three, money. Four, relationships. Five, people do not know this one. This is going to be a revelation to most of us. Conflicts. Fill that one in on your notes. Conflict. Conflicts you experience in life are directly connected to your key values being challenged. Hear me. When you get in an argument and a fuss with somebody, and it's a serious one, they're challenging what's valuable to you. It's important to them. It's important to you. And so therefore this conflict begins to happen. And if we'll understand this, if I can get this across to you, those of us who have anger management problems, you have tremendous insight because it's not just an argument. They're just not challenging you as a person. They're challenging your values. And you're challenging his or hers. So let's say that their marital couple is having conflict. What you got to do is find the values. Something's important to her. Something's important to him. And so now they're in conflict. And if you look at the conflict, you'll find their value. What's important to them. And so when you understand this, not only do you understand the conflict, but you understand the resolve. Because it's in values. Because values engine our life. Values drive our life. We build our lives around our values. Values are a big deal. Your values influence every decision you make. Your values influence every minute of your life. Your values influence every dollar you make and every dollar you spend. Your values influence every relationship, every true, lasting, long, good relationship that you've ever had. Your values influence and are connected directly with every argument and every conflict that you've ever been in. Values are a big deal. They affect your past, they affect your present, they'll affect your future, and they'll affect your life after you die. What you value now is important even after you've gone. Your values order your life. You build your life, you run your life around your values. So if you look at your life and you find values that you don't think are good, that you shouldn't have, how do you change those things? Is it possible? Can you change a value? Yeah, you can. I'm going to give you three things that you can use to change your values. And unless these three things change, your values will never change. These three things must change if we're going to change our values. Number one, realize how you got your values. A lot of people think, I'm born with them. You're not born with values. They're not genetic. Probably the values that you have are not even the values that your parents had. They're not genetic values. How did you get the values that you have? You got them by making choices over a period of time, over years. You made the same choice, and it's become a value or a habit or something that's important to you. So simply saying a duh statement, if I want to change my values, I must change my choices. I'll never change my value until I change my choices. Let me give you a quick, easy example. Say a person is a drug addict. Now, they've chosen drugs are important to them. It's important to them to get that buzz. It's important to them to get that numbness or whatever the drug does to them, that high or that low. It's important to them, and it's a value to them. They've chosen to put this into their body, into their system. It will never change, and their life is going in one direction. It will never change, and that life will never make a change until the choice changes. Until the choice comes that they will not put that into their system, they will never change directions. They can say it all they want to, but they've got to do it. It becomes a choice. The first thing that we've got to do if we're going to change our values is change our choices if we want to direct our lives into a different direction. You will change the direction of your life by simply changing choices, and those choices must become a value. Number two, practice the value you desire. Practice it. Everything that you're good at in life, you practiced. I practiced doing this before you ever hear it. I'm good at it, right? You better say it. I'm good at it because I practice. I just don't jump up here and start talking words. I know what I'm going to say. I've gone over it 2-3 times. And so you practice what you're good at. If you play ball, then you practice. You're good at it. If you're a singer, you practice it and you're good at it. And it becomes a way of life for you. It becomes normal, natural to you. And remember that a value is not a value simply because you say it's a value. A value is what we said is behavior examined. When you examine your life and you see this consistently, then it's a value. Value do not become a value to you overnight. It's going to take a little time. Or we could say it's going to take a little practice to become a value. Let me use some simple illustrations. Let's say you've been a spendthrift. You've been one of these people that's got to have it now, but you want to change that value. And you want to start saving money. You're getting concerned about your future. Well, it won't happen because you say, I'm going to save money. What you got to start doing is putting some money back. And say you want to start saving $100 a week. But there's no way at this present time that you can save $100 a week. Well, then start with 10. Put back $10. Find something that you can cut and put back $10 a week. And do it every week. And don't touch it. And don't let anybody else touch it. It's got to be a value. And it can't be in conflict if somebody touches that $10 and you put it back. And every week you're doing this, every single week, until it becomes what you do. You become a saver. You become a person who saves money. And when it becomes a value in your life. Let me do another one. How about you want to be a good dad? You want to be a better dad. And so you want this to be a value. You haven't done what you needed to do to be a dad. So you want to be a good dad. What do? You got to slice out time. It's got to be not just something you say. You can say, I want to make this choice. I want to be a better dad. What you got to do is start practicing being a better dad. You got to take time and say, okay, this time is for my kids. I'm going to spend this time with these kids, and I'm going to do it every day or every week, but this is their time. And you begin to practice it until you become a better dad. See, values are what we become or what we are. So you become a better dad. Or let's say that you want to be a more gentle and a nicer person. I had an aunt. She was a mess. Man, she was the meanest woman you ever met in your life. But before she died, she changed. You know why she changed? Because she changed her choices. And she began to practice doing nice things for people. And you know what? She died a sweet lady. And you know what? This is what you got to do. If you want to be a kinder, gentler person, then what you got to do is acts of kindness. Maybe you want to do 3 acts of kindness every day or 3 acts of kindness every week until you become a kinder, gentler person. You practice it. Anything that you're good at in life, you practice, and that's why you're good at it. You made a choice to do it, and you began to practice it until you became at it, and it became natural for you to do. So number one, we got to realize how we got our values. Number two, you got to practice those things. Number three, you got to be accountable. Now, let's be honest. We can say it. And we can start practicing it for a couple of weeks, but if you're like most of us, you're going to practice for a couple of weeks, and then you're going to fall right back into where you were, unless you're accountable. How do you become accountable? Well, you'll write it out. You say, here's what I want to have in my life. This is a value. This is what I think is really important to me. I want to make this a value in my life. Write it out. And then write out how you intend to do it, how you intend to practice it. Write it out. Put it in a place where you're going to see it consistently, but give it to people that you want to, you will be accountable to. Give it to your spouse or give it to your children. Talk to them about it. Say, here's what I want to do, and I'm going to give you the right. I'm going to give you the authority to calm me down. Give it to a spiritual leader. Give it to somebody, a worker, somebody, that a friend that you'll give the right to come into your life and tell you, you dropped the ball. And if you want to get the life that you say you want and not pretend, then here's what you got to do. Give them the right. You got to be accountable. If you're like me, you'll say, this is important to me. I'm going to start doing this. And you practice it for a time or two or three. But the next thing you know is you've fallen back. So you got to be accountable. And if you're not, it will never change. If you want to change your values, that's how you must change your values. Here's the questions that go along with that. With whom will you do that? Who will you give accountability? Who will you allow to impart into your life? And here's the big one. When will you do it? Put it off. Put it off. Put it off. Put it off. And you'll never get the life that you want. People who have an abundant life not only know what they want to do, they know what's important to them. They know what drives their lives. And they adjust their lives to be driven to a spot. If I want to go to Atlanta, I've got to head south eventually. And if you want to get to a location, if you want to get to a place in life, the engine of that are your values. You will never get there without values. You can try, you can talk it, you can say it, but it's just pretend. You're self-deceived, you're joking yourself, you're teasing your own self, and you're living a pretend life. It's time to get a life. Jesus came so that we could have one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It encourages us, it challenges us. It challenges our soul, and that's what you said, Lord. You said, Lord, you came to save our souls. This is true salvation, Lord. It's not only dying and going to heaven, but, Lord, it's right now. It's having a saved life now, a life now. Father, I ask you now that every person here has heard this and is challenged to correct, increase, develop, practice, choose, and come into authority and accountability with their values. And I ask you to help us in Jesus' name. Eyes closed, heads bowed. You would be like me and you would say, you know what, Delbert, there are areas in my life that I have pretended. I've said this is important to me, but as I look at my life, they obviously really aren't. And I really want to fix that now. I want to choose right now. We can do that part here. I want to choose right now to adjust these values so that I can have the life that God has planned for me to have, that Jesus came and died that I might have. I choose life, and I choose it today. If that's you, I want to pray for you right now. I want us all just kind of pray together. If that's you, you found areas of your life that you've said were values, but really you're just pretending, and you're willing to admit it. You're being honest with yourself and everybody else. Every eye's closed, every eye heads bowed. But if that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're sitting and let me pray with you right here? I see hands. Hands all over the place. Hands all over the place. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all pray together. Father, thank you for this. Thank you, Lord, for moving in our hearts. Thank you for moving in our lives with your word. It's going to accomplish some great things. Father, let us now go and do what this has taught us to do. Let us not just walk out of here and say, well, that was neat. But Lord, let us take these things and apply these things to our lives so that we can get a life that will take the might out of it, that we'll have the abundant life that Jesus desires that we have. Eyes still closed, head still bowed. Now listen, if you're not a Christ follower or you've gotten away from Christ, you don't have a chance. You will never get a life, the life that Jesus wants you to have, the life that God wants you to have, the abundant life. You're going to go around in circles. You're going to constantly be battling and fighting with different things that you don't have to fight with. But with Jesus, you see, in a personal relationship with Him, you're going to come to a place in your life where you can get it. You cannot have an abundant life without Him. You can't. It's impossible. He came so that you would have and could have. Now, we want to fix that right now. He hung on the cross and He died and He shed His blood for you so that you could have a wonderful, great life. That's for you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And that's something that only you can do. Nobody can do that for you. You have to do it. And it begins by making a choice, by choosing Jesus. By making that choice and beginning the direction of your life changing. It's how it works. Choose life. If that's you, you're not where you need to be with God. You're not where you need to be with Jesus Christ. And you're ready today, whether you've ever made a commitment or not, or you backslid or whatever has happened to you, you've gotten away from the Lord. We want to fix that right now. And you're big enough and smart enough and honest enough to say it. And you raise your hand right now and let me pray for you right where you sit. Would you raise your hand? I see your hand in the back. Any other hand? I see a hand right here. Any others? Any others? Any others? Raise it up high so I can see it. See your hand over there. See your hand. Any others? Okay, I see it. All right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for these right now. The Lord, they'll make the choice and they'll begin to practice. And Lord, these things will become values to them. And they really will have the life you intended them to have. Would everybody in here pray this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me from the sins and the things that hold me back into the things of the kingdom of God, where I may find the abundant life. Bless me, I pray. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Church, would you give a shout and a hand clap and just live the Lord, love the Lord. Amen.